nearly half of young people in Northern Ireland have experienced a mental health problem. That's according to new research by the Prince's Trust. It shows that young people fear for their emotional health more than ever before, as worries about the future, money and generally not being good enough pile up on their generation. Joining me now is Patrick Davidson from the Prince's Trust. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Danny.
Also on the line we have Nadia Sayers. You've been working with the Prince's Trust to create a mental health programme as a solution, so to speak, for young people, by young people. Good morning to you, Nadia.
Good morning.
What's your own experience of the pressures that are on young people in 2018 in Northern Ireland?
Well, for myself, I find that, especially now in the last couple of years, if you look at social media, everything is put on social media, everything is known by everyone, and there is this facade, this social media facade, that everything is perfect and everyone is prosperous and doing amazing 100% of the time. So I think that kind of sets an imaginary bar that people think they need to be hitting all the time, and it's just not realistic.
And you yourself, Nadia, you're only 23 years old, but you've suffered from anxiety and depression as well.
Mm-hmm. It was about 2 years ago I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression. And again, it was kind of similar. It was a lot of contributing factors, but I can relate to a lot of the people that I talk to now whenever I'm out doing the workshops and the programme.
And how did that manifest itself for you?
Well, initially, I started to feel blue. Like, I just started to feel really sad and down, and it was getting to the point where I wasn't able to dress myself or wash myself, and I couldn't go out to see my friends. I had to stay in the house because if I was to step out the front door, the worst thing was going to happen. If you can imagine it was going to happen, and it sounds ridiculous whenever you've got a clear mind or to anyone that hasn't experienced anxiety, but it was very, very debilitating. I didn't have a license. Thank goodness for my mum. She took me home to Tyrone, and she had to leave my job. She looked after me, and she kind of stood by my side until I kind of broke and realised that I needed help.
And did you realise what was happening yourself as it was happening? Did you have any idea, or did you dismiss it as this was just how you felt at that time?
No, definitely not. I think at the time, and it's the same with a lot of young people, you're always thinking, well, someone else has got it worse. I must just be having a bad time. This must just be normal. And whenever the doctor told me, well, you've got depression, I was like, I never thought this was what depression would be. What have I got? Kind of compared to everyone else who's went through so much tragedy. But that's one of the worst thoughts you can have, because you dismiss your own feelings and your own need for help. But everyone needs a bit of help sometimes. But at the time, I had no idea.
Yeah, and I suppose we sometimes feel the need to compare ourselves to others, so we think, well, I shouldn't be upset or sad because so-and-so has gone through this. They have the right to, but I don't have the right to feel like this.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest traits, especially if you have anxiety mixed in there as well, because you're constantly comparing yourself to other people. You're your own worst critic, basically.
And how bad did it get for you?
Well, as I said, I left my job. My mum came up, I was living in Belfast, and my mum had to come up and take me home so she could kind of observe me. She didn't want to leave me by myself, because there was one point where I left my house to go and end my life, and it was just a switch flicked, and I was calm, I knew what I was going to do. I left my house to go and end my life, but then again, the switch just flipped again, and I burst out crying, and I was like, what am I doing? Which, thank goodness, happened, but...
So you seriously contemplated it. You thought, today is the day that I will die.
Yep. I got out and I got into my car and I headed to go and do it. And it was a completely rational thing at the time for me.
See, people will hear you say rational. And I guess it's because unless you've been there, you've experienced that feeling, that emotion, that moment in your life, they won't be able to understand it. And they'll think, you're 23 now. You're a young woman. You had your whole life ahead of you. So what emotion, how were you feeling at that point when you thought rationally, as you've said, this is the right thing to do?
At that point, as I say, I'm 23 now, but I never imagined that I'd reach my 23rd birthday whenever I was going through that period. I just felt that this was how it was going to be. It was the constant jump from feeling numb to feeling 20 different negative emotions all at one time and then back to being numb. And it was impossible to deal with. And at the time, like, no one came around my school to talk about mental health. Nobody, it wasn't as easily accessible, and it was there. I'm sure it was there. But whenever you get those 10 minutes of clarity in your head, maybe in 3 hours, where you're like, well, I probably should look for help, or I think maybe I could talk to someone. You don't have time to start up your computer and log on to Google and start trying to research. You need to have it instantly accessible. And it wasn't something that I had.
Patrick, you hear that and you just think, well, my goodness, once again, unless you've been there or you know someone that has, it's very difficult to understand and to comprehend getting to a point like that in your life. And then one of the top lines we mentioned up before we spoke to both of you, so many people, young people, feeling that they're simply not good enough. And you think, oh my goodness, you've got your whole life ahead of you. You know, you're the next generation, you're young, you have your health, you have, you know, all this potential, and to feel so defeated so young, it's difficult to comprehend.
Yes, it is difficult to comprehend, Benny. These results have come as a result of our youth index that we do each year that took the feelings of young people across the UK, and we surveyed more than 2,000 young people. And some of the interesting and shocking stats, you know, that a third of young people go as far as to say that they regularly feel hopeless. And the Prince's Trust, it's about trying to re-engage with young people and to bring some hope to them. Young people need to feel that they have a stake in society. They need to feel that the efforts that they're making for themselves and they are recognised, and they're given a chance to live, to earn, to learn. And the Trust there are making a call out to society in general, to employers, to public sector bodies, to take on the idea of emotional well-being with young people, to recognise the fact that young people can make a really positive contribution to our society, but they just need some support, especially at times of crisis. And as Nadia said, and I think she was very, very brave to tell her story today,
very
with some support, with the right help, and with the knowledge that help is out there, they can actually, you know, get their lives together and move on. Unfortunately, a lot of young people get to the stage where they feel completely hopeless and maybe suffer from depression or other mental illness. And what happens is that suicide then becomes an option. And we want to get that message out there that there are things that can help. And recently a group of young people on our team program, North Belfast, in conjunction with the PIPS charity, have brought about a new sort of training program called HOPE. You might have heard of it, and it stands for Hold On, PNN. One of the things about this one is it's a group of young people who have developed training resources to enable them to talk to other young people in their language, in a language that they understand, and start to look at the facts and myths around suicide and self-harm, what the early warning signs are, how can we sort of detect it early, and how can we intervene. So that's a really interesting thing that we're doing here within the Trust.
And to put it into even more perspective, some stats here from the Mental Health Foundation and the Royal College of Psychiatrists. More, I think a lot of us know this or knew this, but just when you hear the figures, more people have died in Northern Ireland from suicide since the Good Friday Agreement than the total number of people killed during the Troubles. So Troubles totaled 3,600 and the Good Friday Agreement 4,400. So 4,400 people in Northern Ireland have taken their own life in the last 20 years.
And that's across all age groups, all social strata. Yeah. You know, suicide doesn't select. And it's something that we have to work on as a society. And there are many organisations that are doing fantastic work. But it's all about breaking the stigma down and getting people to open up and to talk and to seek help. And the information that the Prince's Trust is putting out today is really a call to action for society in general, but especially for people who are working with young people such as ourselves, other organisations, to really take the idea of emotional well-being and mental health promotion on board. And let's break down the stigma.
So what's your message, just briefly, Patrick, because we're tight for time, what's your message to someone that's listening this morning and is concerned about themselves or maybe someone they know?
Well, the first thing I'd say to them is, take a bit of time and think. There are supports you can have. There are people there that can help you. Maybe I can just give you a quick couple of numbers, Vinny. If someone is in urgent crisis and needs help, they can ring Lifeline. And the number for that is 0808-808-8000. They can also ring PIPS. And their number is 0289080-5850. And one of the things we're saying is one of the best ways to help young people to move away and get on with their lives is to give them a job. And here at the Prince's Trust, we're able to help young people. We've helped 8,000 young people last year to move on with their lives. And people can get in touch with us on our website, or they can ring us on 0800 842 842. And there'll be someone there who you'll be able to talk to and maybe get a fresh start with your life.
What we'll do, Patrick, is we will put out those numbers on our Twitter feed at BBC Nolan, just in case anyone missed them. Patrick Davidson, thank you so much. And Nadia Sayers, thank you so much for your time this morning and for being so open and so honest. You can also go to the BBC Action Line website, bbc.co.uk/Action Line. I think those stats, they really put a lot of things into perspective.